Welcome to Home Space and Reason, a podcast about creating a home that thrives.
Hi there, I'm Christina Browning, your host. If you know your home could be so much more than it is, I discuss home functionality, aesthetics, and automation. I'm a realtor in Portland, Oregon, and a home functionality coach nationwide. I geek out on every subject imaginable regarding your home and yard, challenging you to think of your space differently to get the most out of every square foot. I pose questions for you to think through about your space and your reason. This podcast is all positive, offering you virtual fist bumps and celebrating every win. Remember, there's no such thing as perfect, but you can still aim for your best every day. If you'd like to connect on social, find the handle Space and Reason. The topic of coming up with a list of your priorities when buying a home is dear to my heart because if you really take some time to soul search and think through the practicalities of what you think you want, you're more likely to be pleased with your decision in the end. Grab a piece of paper and a pen, and first, let's think of our lifestyle. If you're considering moving, whether it's next month or in 2 years or six, what is your list at first blush, stream of consciousness? Bust out what things you want in the next home you live in. While you do that, I'm going to talk to my wonderful client, Tara, who I represented in her home purchase a couple years ago, and then we'll come back for some questions to further drill down on your list. So I'm going to start by having you share your choice to leave the U.S. and move overseas for a brief period of time.
So we moved to a little village outside of Nuremberg, Germany, because my husband had an opportunity to work in a global football role with Adidas. And it was a dream of his to return to Europe. He spent a year in school in Ireland. We were all so excited just about the opportunity to spend a couple of years living and working in Germany and then hopefully being able to travel. So we took our family, which at the time our kids were eighth grade and fifth grade. We moved into a very small flat. We had been living in a typical American-sized home, but we moved into a flat that was incredibly functional, small, and it just had everything like you just needed, like nothing more. And that was exciting because we didn't want to have to take care of anything, and we just wanted to travel. But then COVID happened and all that changed and we ended up in this tiny space working, schooling, doing everything together for a long period of time. So while we were there, you know, we had to really get good at figuring out how to use that space for all of the different things that we needed. And in Germany, especially, and maybe in other European countries, a lot of times you bring your own kitchen, or in our flat that we rented, we already had a kitchen. It came with a kitchen, but you get the option. And a lot of times you don't have another choice. You might go spend $5,000 or $6,000 on a kitchen that you take with you from your each rental property.
So this is so fascinating to me because we do have some listeners in Germany, actually. And when I went to look this up online, I'm reading these articles saying, imagine this, you're moving to a new city for a job. The first place you go is a great location, good size, affordable price. And when you show up in person, you get to the kitchen room and there are four walls, a few outlets, a hole in the floor for the sewer, and two water lines coming out of the wall. And the real estate agent tells you if you want a sink, stove, cabinets, etc., that you have to go buy them. Yes. So for those of us who live here in the United States, that is such a strange concept because here our cabinets are all permanently affixed. Everything is permanent. It doesn't move around. So this is so cool.
But this place did have a kitchen, tiny fridge, just, you would have to shop every day. It was wonderful and maddening at the same time because there are comfort. One of the things I love about our big American houses is there's lots of places to put things and you can buy in bulk. And there it's like you would shop almost daily.
What was that experience like in COVID? Could you shop daily?
I'm the one who shopped daily, yes. And you couldn't bring family members with you. Like one person from a household could go to a store. And so it was always me because I didn't work when we were there. It was just in and out, and I had to go every day. And it was really scary because we didn't know a lot about COVID at the time. And I think most of us were afraid. So I was wiping everything down daily. Like I didn't let anybody come near me.
Yeah.
So I would go out every day.
So then you come back after a period of time, and your transition back into American life is a hilarious story. Can you share that?
Well, we moved back just 2 years. We didn't stay as long as we wanted. COVID impacted a lot of our decision making, as so many people experienced. And we really just wanted to come home. So at the 2 year mark, we came home, and when we came home, the real estate market, and we'd been watching it for several months, was still quite a frenzy. Like it just required so much timing, investment, and then ability to just be incredibly flexible. So we didn't want to commit to a lease. We had sold our home before we left for Germany. So when we came back, we knew we would have to buy a home. So we talked to friends about if we bought an RV, if we could park it in their driveway and live with them so that we would be incredibly agile in the market so that when a house came up, we would be ready. And the thing is we overestimated our ability to live in such confined quarters because we had been doing it in Germany, right? We had lived in this big house, then we lived in this small flat, and we just thought, well, obviously, we're really getting good at this. We can live in a very small RV. We were planning to be there for up to a year until we found the perfect house. But no, it didn't go down like that.
Can you tell me more about that?
Yeah, so then we are trying to live in this RV. The kids go back to school. My husband's back working. I'm working. I work from home. He also works from home. And we are living in an RV. And it was just, oh my goodness, we were all so irritable. There was a lot of tension. It was.
This honestly sounds like material for a Saturday Night Live skit. I mean, I know it was not funny at the time, but now thinking back on it, imagine two different people taking conference calls in an RV.
Just all the things that you think are would be kind of easy, like even just like making a meal. Like we just got to the point where we are only, a heat and serve meal. We were just at each other's throats. Part of the thing we had to do in this RV, which is kind of disgusting, is we had to, deal with our waste. And one of the things that my husband and son had to do every day in the rain was like empty the tanks into a mobile tank, then take it back to our friend's septic in their backyard. And I mean, it was just becoming completely not sustainable, our living situation. And we had only been there for 3 months.
So then you call me.
Yes. We need a house and we need it fast.
But you had set yourself up so wonderfully with expectations and your ability to be flexible that I think that went a lot more smooth, and we could move quickly when we needed to. And so, yes, that was a fascinating story. And you thought you wanted a small-ish house. You said, we're good at this. Mm-hmm. We don't need a huge, big, giant home, lots to clean, lots to organize, et cetera. And then you ended up finding one that maybe wasn't exactly how you envisioned it, but you loved it so much that you ended up mm-hmm. jumping in. And so I think it was fascinating to see your list, your initial list. You know, we want space maybe for animals outside, a little bit of property, and maybe a smaller, you know, footprint in the house. And that ended up not being where you landed. Can you talk just a little bit about that shift in checklist to reality?
Well, one of the big drivers, and I think this is something that when you make a list and you're doing an important decision like buying a home, I think your list, it is interesting because I don't think your priorities really like rubber meets the road kind of thing until you are almost at the end. And maybe it's just myself and my husband, how we work and our personalities. But it's funny, we wanted all those things, like in this idealistic, you know, world, like, let's go and get this beautiful piece of property, like a little cottage. It almost was this picturesque thing. And then when we were looking at homes, what kept coming up was our proximity to our friends. Like that became the number one list, because we all are this little village. We were all helping with each other's kids, and to live within, you know, close proximity to them, really there, you couldn't have a, you know, 5-acre parcel with a little cottage on it. So that was the first realization, is like, wait, these things are conflicting and we had to choose. So we chose that proximity, which was a really good choice in the end. The second thing that was really motivating us is the living situation we were in. Like we became, I think, more like, let's just get into something. Let's just get into something that checks enough boxes. And the funny thing is this house is still much bigger than we need. It's a very big house. It did not end up being the smallish house we were hoping for, but you came and helped with that.
So we are going to hear more from Tara in episode 78 about specifically the house they end up buying and several pain points in their kitchen, along with how those end up getting remedied. But since we're talking about lists and priorities on what we want in our next house, let's think back on that list we made. And I'm going to ask you some questions about your space and your reason. So grab that piece of paper we started earlier. Question number one, have I considered proximity? Like Tara taught us, don't underestimate the power of support, being within close proximity. For you, this might manifest in, do we want to move at all? Because our main driver for moving in the first place was to be more near the lake for better fishing. Does that desire to spend more time on the lake outweigh the benefit of proximity to people we love? And or are we moving because we haven't connected deeply with anyone here and we want to be in a community where we can be more embraced and supported? All good stuff to chew on. Question number two. If one of the things on my list is more land or a bigger yard, do I want to spend a lot of time with upkeep? Do I have time in my current schedule for that? Will I want to do that? What about days it's crazy hot outside? Am I fantasizing about having land, or do I really want the work that comes with it? All of that kind of goes together. question number three. If I'm moving further out, have I considered being further away from conveniences like grocery stores or home improvement stores, longer car rides to visit people, and less people coming to visit us is often part of that equation? Question number four. If we want a bigger house, are we utilizing all the space we have in the one we live in, or do we have entire rooms that don't get utilized at all? Along the same lines, do we have dual purpose rooms that check multiple boxes for us, like a guest room with a Murphy bed that is also my office or my daughter's craft room? Two things can occupy one space, especially if one of those things isn't needed often or even is just needed once a month. Question number five. Could it be possible that the next house we move into will have the same number of drawbacks that this one has, but they're just different? Read into this. Could I solve the problems that are making me want to move by using the home functionality chart and really thinking about the angst and if those issues could be handled without moving? I know several people who continue to get excited about moving. We get them into the next house, and after the shine wears off, they have a list a mile long of all the things they don't like about the house they are currently living in. So they need to move. And that idea is exciting. And they pick a house and it's nothing like the one they moved from, but they didn't think about those other issues that have come up, and now they are on repeat. The moral of this story is, if you find yourself moving over and over, it could be that you're expecting perfection, and that is not a real thing. What you see on social media or in movies is staged. Those people don't even live like that every day. Question number six. Have I thought about our hobbies and the thing that lights us up the most, and how a home could support those things, from storage for the snow skis to land to raise your Norwegian elk hounds on? Thinking deeply about your passions can be key in finding long-term happiness from your next home purchase. If you'd like more of this kind of content, subscribe to Little Bits, my weekly newsletter about home functionality, with a short video and a thought for you to think through about your space and your reason. Expect short but close inspections of home details, and as usual, I'll pose questions for you to think through about your space and your reason. Find the link in the podcast notes. What word comes to mind when I say home office? Dread, chaos, happiness, piles. From the location of your desk to your office door, the paint color, the technology, the layout, the lighting, let's deep dive into the subject of making your home office the best it can be, and even preventing burnout. Let's set it up for great workflow and creativity. Your home office can feel good. It can look good. It can function well. If you're looking for home office inspiration, have a listen to episode 29. I'll link it in the show notes. If you have an Amazon Echo, you can say, "Play the Home Space and Reason podcast by Apple," and easily listen on any Echo or Dot. If you think you're going to be in the market soon to buy or sell in the greater Metro Portland, Oregon area, give me a call. I would love to hear from you, hear about your hopes and wishes, timelines. I'll ask a bunch of questions and we'll get the ball rolling. You'll find a link in the episode notes of ways to contact me. Thank you so much for spending your valuable time with me today. I'll meet you back here for the next episode.